Doc was having problems of his own. The Lama was difficult to reload in a hurry, and a cry from the armorer had alerted him to the fact that a couple of stickies were headed in his direction. Realizing that he wouldn't have the time to reload the cumbersome percussion blaster, he rapidly holstered it and withdrew the sword from within the silver lion's head sword stick that contained the blade tempered from the finest Toledo steel. The seemingly old and frail man was deft and quick with the blade, as many an enemy had discovered, and Doc had to use all his skills when one of the stickies burst through the undergrowth. It was on him before he had a chance to drag the blade fully from its sheath.
By thunder, I'm not falling that easily.
He put his weight on his back foot to stabilize himself and hammered the creature's windpipe with his forearm. The sticky staggered from the blow, giving Doc the seconds necessary to clear the sword from its sheath and send it arcing across the creature's throat. The creature stopped in its tracks, mutely clutching its torn neck, before tumbling to the ground. Meanwhile, Ryan shouldered his Steyr and drew the Sig Sauer. Close quarters fighting required a hand blaster. He started to fire at the sounds coming from the undergrowth, but it was so dense that he couldn't tell if his shots were having any effect in the bedlam.
Where are they, JB?
I don't know. They're getting lost in the woods.
The armorer switched from the M4000 to his Uzi, which he set to single shot as he slipped down to ground level.
Just keep triple red. Try to pick them out.
Doc was having no trouble picking out an opponent. With an instinct that told them he was less dangerous than those firing blasters, the stickies concentrated on him, communicating with one another somehow in a way that only they could understand. He was holding his own, his sword flashing a crimson spray through the air, but he was outnumbered, having to spin in circles just to keep the stickies at bay. Jack, picking off those he could from up in his tree, noticed Doc's predicament. After a last look around to take in both the positions of his companions and of those stickies visible, Jack slipped down the tree and slid the .357 Magnum into its holster. The Colt Python was a formidable blaster, but inappropriate for the kind of fighting he was in for. In close quarters, there was always a chance that the Magnum shells would pierce a sticky and go clean through, possibly hitting a friend. He didn't want to chill Doc while he was trying to save him. Doc was fighting hard and well, but he was hugely outnumbered. The stickies came at him from every direction, and it was all he could do to thrust, parry, and slice a few at a time. His actions drove back attackers, but they were just replaced by others, just as intent on ripping Doc to shreds. He was backed up against a tree, holding them at bay on three sides, and praying for the cavalry to come riding in.
Here I come, Doc!
Thank heavens! Feel free to join the fray, Captain Lauren.
The stickies were so intent on their task that they paid no heed to the shout from behind them. But they couldn't ignore the whirlwind that swept into their midst with an attack of staggering ferocity. Jack had palmed razor-sharp, leaf-bladed knives from the many hiding places in his patched and tattered camo jacket. He had one in each hand, held loosely to facilitate movement, but firm enough to make them sing. The blurred form of Jack cutting a swath through the pack caused enough disturbance to distract those at the front, torn between continuing their attack on the old man or turning to face the new enemy, which was all Doc needed. The distraction Jack caused enabled Doc to get off his back foot and begin an offensive. He stepped forward and launched his own frenzied attack. Between them, the two companions were able to cut through the muties with ease, turning to deliver lethal blows to those still alive and twitching. For Mildred and Christy, things weren't going so well. At shouted cries from both Ryan and JB, they had all tried to find a central point at which they could converge, a point from which they could stand and fight back to back, eliminating the chance of hitting one another. It would have been a simple enough plan, if not for the fact that darkness was descending too rapidly in the already gloomy cover of the forest, and the noise was such that they couldn't locate one another. Stickies loomed in and out of the darkness, confused by the shooting, their bloodlust fueled by the smell of their own dead, and driven almost to distraction by the sound of beating hooves and distant cries that could faintly be heard over the pandemonium. Apparently, whatever had whipped the pack into such a frenzy in the first place was now catching up with them. The four companions, isolated in their search for one another, fighting off stray stickies who stumbled upon them in the darkness, knew that they would too possibly be easy prey for whatever pursued the stickies. Ryan and JB holstered their blasters while there was a good chance of hitting each other in the confusion. Ryan took the panga from its thigh sheath, the heavy blade sending sticky blood flying. Likewise, JB was using his Techna knife, taking out the muti attackers as they stumbled across him as he tried to find the others. But Mildred and Christy didn't have knives. Like the men, they didn't want to risk hitting their companions, so both used their blasters as clubs. It was was fortunate that the muties were prone to blindly rush in and that the women were practiced in unarmed combat. The clammy, sticky-padded fingers clung to their clothing and flesh when the muties were able to lay hands on them, hard to dislodge and repulsive to the touch. Once the creatures had been brought to ground, the butts of the hand blasters delivered fatal, skull-crunching blows, the thin skulls of the muties caving easily. But the sheer numbers were weighing the women down. Jack and Doc had dispatched their opponents and were about to set out to find their companions when the teen stayed the older man with a hand on his arm.
Listen.
Doc's face contorted with the effort to distinguish one noise from another in the melee. Then he turned to Jack with an astonished expression.
Men on horseback. I thought you were the cavalry. Truly, we are fortunate.
You're friendly. Don't count on it. Find others.
I certainly agree with that. I fear we would be better trusting your skills in this task than mine, so perhaps you should lead.
Good call.
Mildred was their first find. She was in the act of dispatching one sticky with a jackhammer blow to the side of its skull, while twisting to evade the sucking grasp of another that had approached from the rear. Doc's sword took off the sticky's left ear before slicing down into its neck. It whirled away from Mildred and turned to Doc. Before the old man had a chance to act, Mildred clubbed the back of the muty skull, reducing its brains to mush.
I have never, and I mean never, been so glad to see you, you old buzzard.
I shall choose to take that as a compliment, my dear Mildred. We must find the others. Another enemy is almost upon us.
Damn, this is just going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
This way.
As Jack led them off, he could hear Ryan cursing loudly as he hacked at an enemy.
Fucking bastard!
Jack was heading in that direction when Christy came crashing out of the undergrowth.
Gaia, am I glad to see you. Where?
This way, quick!
Jack moved toward the sound of Ryan's voice. The one-eyed warrior pulled his panga from the neck of a dead sticky. He looked up as he heard them approach.
Didn't think that sounded like stickies. Where's JB?
Here.
The voice came from nearby, followed shortly by the armorer crashing through the trees.
Shit, that was hard work.
He pushed his fedora back on his head and wiped his brow with the back of his hand.
We must have been closer than we knew. It's just so fucking dark now.
Yeah, and we've got more company. Must have been what was driving those stickies berserk. Figure we've seen most of them off, and the others are probably running from whoever this is. I don't know about you, but I'm too tired to run.
I'll go along with that.
Jack frowned.
Wait. Spreading. Trying to round up stickies.
Ryan lifted his head and listened intently. Jack was right. He could hear the remnants of the muty pack being driven back toward them.
Fire blast! They're coming right through here! Cover now! Triple red!
The companions sought whatever refuge they could find in the cover of the trees. They had converged on a natural path formed by an avenue of trees, and it seemed that the unknown horsemen were intent on driving the muties back through this path. The stickies were being pincered. There was no doubt about that. What was going on? The few stickies that were left were driven past the companion's cover. A volley of shots rang out from horsemen's blasters. The few remaining stickies were mowed down, their bodies jerking with the impact and thrown across the path. Although they would have been hidden to the casual observer, Ryan could see exactly where all his people were, and they knew where he was. He signaled them to remain in hiding. Let the horsemen make the next move.